and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm blessed beyond measure. Shaking down, pressed together. I tell you what, life is good. It's nice and warm today. I mean, really, like ridiculously hot. But this is still the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I will be just so thankful that I've got air conditioning. And so there you go. And of course, it's that hot all over the country. There are heat stroke warnings all over the country, Midwest, North Carolina. And that's why we haven't bothered to go back up to North Carolina and visit our friends up there, because it's just as hot up there as it is down here. And what's the point? At least we get a sea breeze down here. I wanted to start off with Angela Merkel today. This is an article here, and it talks about how her government's on the brink of collapse, and should we worry about what could happen if Germany collapses? And it says that Germany is in no position to lead Europe, and has little desire to do so, and that's bad news for everyone. To borrow a phrase, when Germany catches a cold, Europe gets pneumonia. And right now, the political situation in Berlin is looking pretty bad. If Angela Merkel's rickety government does collapse, whether it's not in the orderly fashion ordained by the Federal Republic's Constitution, everybody in Europe should be afraid of what life after the communist Merkel will be like. You could argue that she has it coming. Ever since her brave and unprincipled decision to allow around 1 million, that's very low numbers, I'd say closer to 4 million, asylum seekers, including from the war in Syria, into Germany. And it was no matter that Germany was weak and divided with a succession of wobbly governments based on a kaleidoscope of shifting allegiances as well as a growing parliamentary presence from parties on the extreme right. And so what they're doing, they're warning that Germany is basically in a mess. It's a second refusal, frankly, backed by a financial impossibility to bail out Italy. The country's banks in the States are virtually insolvent. Italy's the third largest economy. And then it goes on to say in this article, it says that what is happening in Germany has been happening across Europe for years. Masked by the victory of Emmanuel Macron, who wants to rule French like an Olympus god in France, Angela Merkel hanging on the power in Germany, the far right or populist right, or this author is calling it the neo-Nazi right, which I don't consider that to be accurate. I consider it to be nationalists, or the conservative right in varying national flavors are in government, either alone or in coalition. In Slovenia, Austria, Italy, Hungary, Poland, the Czechoslovakia, and Bulgaria. And basically, they are also in power in the Netherlands and in Denver and in Sweden. So all across Europe, this socialism is starting to die, according to this article. And people are beginning to become more populist and say, hey, look, we've all had enough of this. Now, what's happened with Angela Merkel, I'm going to kind of give you a recap for those who are just tuning into the show who haven't heard me talk about this before. Angela Merkel was a hardcore communist raised in East Germany. They were taught to hate Germany, hate the German people, hate everything about basically Europe as it was before World War II. This is Stalin-esque, Lenin-esque. This is the group of people that basically put this program together when they split Germany down the middle with basically the end of World War II and the treaties that were signed by the Allies. Truth be told, if you really look at the numbers, Russia won World War II and it received as their bounty half of Europe to be put under the USSR. Now, you think through that for a second. A lot of these different countries were extremely Christian, extremely Catholic, extremely Protestant, and they were given and put into a godless state that believed that God didn't exist, which would be communism. Now, the reality is of the communists, they were Luciferians in most cases, and this was to purge the Christians and the Orthodox Church from Europe. That's what this whole thing was about. I mean, we could go on in the whole tirade about the whole bit, but I'm not going to do that today. But the reality is Angela Merkel was put here to do exactly what she was supposed to do. Germany was running billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in surplus imports every year. They were exporting much more than they're importing. They didn't have to borrow a bunch of money into their central bank to keep the currency afloat. They had huge amounts of money coming in from all these other countries because of the surplus, which we are the exact opposite. We have trade deficits, and we have to continue to borrow more and more money to keep our insolvent, bankrupt government afloat. Germany didn't have to do that. And Angela Merkel made sure by bringing all of these people into Germany, millions of unskilled laborers, that Cloward and Piven was alive and well in Germany. So yes, Angela Merkel's government is on the brink of collapse, and I am so happy that that woman hopefully will be taken out of power as soon as possible. She should never have been reelected, because anybody who's willing to bring in the migrating hordes of barbarian rapists into their country, unchecked, unfettered at the border, is not a leader. They are basically a servant. They're a hireling that has been put there by the Rothschild banking cartel to destroy Germany and the power base and the ability it has to support itself through its exports. So I'm very, very happy that she's on her way out. I only hope the German people have enough sense to give her the boot, have new elections, and fix this mess. Austin, what do you think?
I do too. I mean, because it's definitely gotten out of control. And I mean, we've been saying this for years over there, but they're reaching a tipping point, which is they're at that point now. There is no more playing the game, that these guys have to start changing some things drastically, or else they're going to completely lose it over there. And quite frankly, from what we've seen, that probably is the overall goal, at least for the globalist. Now, all the other Europeans over there, they're trying to live peacefully and successfully. It's obviously not their goal, but from some reason, the globalists like to use Europe as kind of the original beta test to see what they can do with things, because it's in the EU, because they have so many different restrictions and they put them under so much tyranny now. They kind of want to do that to them as a beta test on what they want to try to do to the United States in the future. Just one of the biggest aspects that Europe has not going for them is they don't have a Second Amendment, nor do they have a First Amendment. So you run into a lot of aspects of where you can't say what you need to say, and you can't defend yourself with the way you need to defend yourself. And those are the two really pivotal points of Europe, of what they've lost, and actually in some cases have never even had, and something that they really have to look into in the future, in my opinion, if they ever want to be successful at pulling away from the globalist regime. Now, this is a story that I saw out of France, out of Spain, but it's now coming to a global setting here. This is quite odd. Remember a couple weeks ago, the Miss America pageant, we talked about how they're getting rid of the swimsuit competition in Miss America. We're not doing that anymore. Basically, it promotes, you know, this toxic masculinity, all this weird stuff you like to do, the feminists like to do that. Well, the basically Miss Universe pageant now will now have its first transgender woman competing in the next Miss Universe.
I told you.
We did. And what's happened now is Angela Ponce, who is actually a dude that acts like a girl, but it's biological dude, guy, last weekend, basically won the Spanish crown, basically like won Miss Spain is what she did, and now will become the first transgender woman to compete on behalf of any country in the Miss Universe pageant now. So whenever you think you've seen it all, whenever you think you've heard it all, whenever you think it can't get any weirder, just remember this year's Miss Universe will have a transgender male, female, whichever one you want to go on that one, in Miss Universe competing now. As weird as that is, Dad called it out. That's exactly why they're getting rid of the swimsuit competition. Now, that was in Miss America when they said they were doing that. What they're going to do with Miss Universe in this particular situation right now, I'm really not certain. I don't know how they're going to handle this. I don't know if this Angela Ponce has gone through full-blown mutilation therapy as far as having parts of his or her body removed. I don't know. I haven't done any research on that yet. Really don't care to know, to be honest with you. But it will present a significant problem, as you can quite see, if there is a swimsuit competition in Miss Universe, Dad.
You know, I didn't want to be right on this one. But I
know.
I told you guys this is what they were going to do. I haven't even seen that story at Austin. I'm sitting there going, I told you so. I told you so. That's all I can say. And nobody else talks about this mess but us. This is really not something that really is newsworthy. It's just kind of nauseating. Okay, when God's standard is neglected, everything starts to change. Evangelical votes helped Republican whorehouse owner win the Nevada primary. I don't really know how to say this, but that's just really, really messed up. A Nevada whorehouse owner who runs five brothels recently won the Republican primary for state assembly seat. in due in part to the evangelicals who are willing to. I just read the news.
I know. I couldn't help but laugh. I'm sorry.
Whorehouse profession. The outcome has left some scratching their heads as to why professing Christians would compromise in this legal regard, and others lamenting the apparent neglect of the standards for selecting civil leaders as found in Scripture. You know, this reminds me of the Alabama issue, when Alabama basically had a chance to basically put a new senator in a few months back, and they didn't want to put the guy in because some girl said he'd ask her out. She never said he raped her. She never said he touched her or anything else that I could find in any of the research, but he asked her out on a date. And so they ended up in a situation where, you know, he was basically chastised by the voters of Alabama. And now we have an incredibly liberal Democrat in that position in Alabama. Yep. And let's not forget Canada now. A bus driver, basically, he was driving a bus and seeing a gay pride parade, decided he was going to be handing out some Jesus Saved pamphlets during the gay pride parade because he really didn't want to deal with having to look at the gay pride parades. Bill Wackott, the bus driver, was charged with a hate crime for distributing pamphlets during a gay pride parade. The flyer said that Jesus can save gay people if they repent. According to the authorities, Wackott distributed anti-gay material which promoted hatred towards the gay community. Toronto Police Service said in his statement, adding that he was arrested in Calgary and later returned and extradited to Toronto. Wackott, a 51-year-old man, was formally charged with willful promotion of hatred against an identifiable group, namely the gay community. The pamphlets included information about homosexuality associated with sexually transmitted diseases, HPV of the rectum, which the U.S. Centers for Disease Control says is true. In addition, the pamphlets also included negative comments about the Liberal Party and stated accusations and facts about several left-wing politicians accused of convicted of various sexual crimes. I know one of Alex Jones's good friends, Roger Stone, who actually has a lot of good information he's given out over the years that I used to listen to until I saw pictures of him in a gay pride parade. Basically, he's bisexual, I guess, is what he says. And so we have a situation now where we have one of the top commentators on one of the top talk shows in America, Roger Stone, who basically has photos of himself at a gay pride parade in New York. You guys can Google that and you can pull it up and you can see the photos yourself. And I will let you know that I am not joking or kidding about that, but I'm refraining from making any comment on that whatsoever. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff is, guys, when we allow this to happen, when we allow our churches and our clergy not to tell the truth, not to be what they need to be in the pulpit, to be able to church hop, when your pastor says something to you about something's wrong, we need to change this or that, and you get all angry at the pastor and you church hop. And you run off and you go, I'm going somewhere else. I got a guy who's preaching the truth, but I'm going to go run somewhere else because I want to hear what my itching ears want to hear, which it talks about that in the book of Timothy. Another perfect example, Hillsong worship pastor claims that evolution is deniable and that God created the Big Bang. So what he's saying that we came from monkeys and that God created the Big Bang. Hillsong church leader on June the 25th, 2018, tweeted that God created the Big Bang and that evolution is undeniable. Hillsong Church is based out of Sydney, Australia, but also has a church in New York City. Joel Houston, the eldest son of the founders of Hillsong, Brian and Bobby Houston, and the co-pastor of the Hillsong Church in New York City, tweeted on Monday his support of the evolutionary theory and the Big Bang. Now, quite frankly, there is no precedent as far as not believing in the Big Bang in Scripture. It doesn't make any difference. God said, boom, let there be light. Could have been a Big Bang. Now, I don't have a problem with that one. What I have is the problem with the evolution. Now, I do believe in certain cases you're going to have natural selection and the fittest is going to survive in an already established ecosystem. Now, I just said a mouthful there. For you guys, if guys that are trained in science, you know what I just said, which means that the human beings are already here, animals are already here, and basically we saw this with different tests that have been done over the years with certain species that basically either get stronger or basically are eliminated or go extinct based upon natural selection. That is not evolution. That is different. Evolution means that lightning hit a rock, snap, bam, okay? Some peptide or protein or whatever they claim was formed, which basically after billions of years, you know, turned into a longer paste, stronger peptide, which has never been able to duplicate in the laboratory they tried. And so basically we came from a rock. And then sooner or later, this peptide turns into another species, another animal, into an amoeba, and all this stuff continues to migrate and becomes human beings. Well, my problem is this. if all the amoebas turn into humans, why they're still amoebas? If all the monkeys turn into humans, why they're still monkeys? I mean, it's stupid. It doesn't work that way. We were put here by God Almighty, and God Almighty designed us. I mean, the ear, the inner ear, just the cochlea of the inner ear, and the way the inner ear works is so complex for balance. It's unbelievable. And that's just the ear. Okay. This stuff was supposed to all happen by itself. Whatever. It can't be that way. And now with the unraveling of the DNA code, we found that this is not something that just happened. This is actually precision built. We've been precisely a precision built in the image of God Almighty. I mean, that's who built us. And so Yahweh. And so what we have to understand that is very, very, very clear. When we have a major group of people like this who are coming out and saying they believe in evolution, that's blasphemy. There's no other way about it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no way to say, oh, that's okay, he meant this or he meant that. He needs to keep his stupid mouth shut and stop sending out tweets on stuff that's contrary to the scripture and keep his own stinking opinions to himself. And that's how I feel about this. If you've got something that you think is contrary to scripture and you're the pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States and you want to run your mouth and say you believe in evolution, well, what happened to the book of Genesis, buckwheat? And if you take the book of Genesis out, you take Genesis chapter 6 out, you take all of the stories of the Old Testament out, we don't even have a religion or a faith if you believe in Genesis, if you think we crawled out of a cave with a monkey. I mean, you're a sicko, buddy. You're a complete and total perverted sicko. You should never be allowed by your daddy, who started this whole church thing that he did, to go out and tweet stuff. He needs to tell you to shut your mouth and be quiet and keep your opinions to yourself. And if you don't want to be a Christian, you need to get off the church payroll. Oh, did I say that? I did say that, didn't I? If you don't want to be a Christian, you want to be a secular humanist and believe in evolution, you need to take your sorry butt off the church payroll and keep your mouth shut and go start yourself a little weird church on the side of the road, basically telling everybody they crawled out of a rock somewhere. If that's what you want people to believe, and you believe it, I don't have the faith to believe that kind of nonsense. I've got a whole lot more faith that we were put here by God Almighty. He designed us, and He created us in His image. That's what I have faith for, because the body is too complex. The stuff that I learned in human physiology and the stuff that I learned, how complex this thing is. I mean, it's incredible what God built. And to say we crawled out of a rock over a couple billion years, doesn't work that way. If you take a car and you put it in your driveway, let's say you take a Ford Pinto that's all rusted out from the 70s, one of the exploding Ford Pintos. You take it, you put it in the driveway out back. Let's give it a couple million years to see if it turns into the brand new Corvette. Let's check it out. I mean, are you kidding me? It doesn't do that. It turns into a rust bucket and falls apart. Believing in the theory of evolution is like taking a complex thing like a really nice wristwatch and taking it all apart and putting it in a plastic bag and shaking it and throwing it up in the air and believing that someday it's going to fall down and be a really nice watch again. It doesn't do that. Nature follows the least path of resistance. Water doesn't run uphill, it goes downhill. If anything, things break down and start to degrade. We, as human beings now, because of Lucifer's bunch and all of the Nephilim DNA and all of the chemtrails and all of the poison they put into us, we are not what we were in the garden. We aren't that anymore. We have been degraded. We have been detuned. We have lost so much of how we were created in God's image because we are no longer in communion with God the way we're supposed to be as a species because of what happened in the garden. And so, guys, think about it this way. If you can restore a lot of what you're supposed to be through accepting Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, through the infusion of the Holy Spirit, with your connection to God and to His dimension through the Holy Spirit, it only makes sense to try to do the best you can with what we've got here on this planet, with the skin suit we've been put into, while we're here, and not try to, you know, tell people that we are coming from rocks. It doesn't make any sense. And guys, if you're in a Christian leadership position and you don't believe what you preach, you need to step out and go do something else. You need to step out and do something else. I've known multiple preachers that have left the profession of preaching because they've lost their faith, lost their confidence, lost their edge, lost their dream, lost their goal. And to me, if they're going to do that, if they're going to lose that, and they're going to drag a bunch of people into the ditch with them, they need to step away and go do something else. What do you think, Austin?
I think that's very well said. I think you're absolutely right about that. If you do feel that you're starting to go a different direction, I mean, because that's one of the aspects it even talks about in the Bible, is that you're held to a higher accountability when you're a preacher, when you're at the pulpit, because you have people that are behind you, you have people that you're leading, and you're supposed to be teaching them the Word of God, not teaching them lies and nonsense like this guy's tweeting. I mean, it's just a simple fact. So, I mean, people need to understand, if that's what's going on in your church, you really need to address a lot of things and decide whether or not you need to be there anymore. Also, too, in other news, I thought this was interesting because I talked about it a little bit last week, but I watched it happen, if you guys saw it at the beginning of this week. The silver and gold market plummeted yesterday. They started falling on Thursday and Friday. They started going through the floor. I mean, you could see the shorts, I mean, just going through the systems. Then on Monday, it shot down even lower. Silver was almost $15.79, I think, at its drop yesterday. Well, of course, at the same time, the Chinese yuan suddenly tumbles, basically hemorrhaging, going down to the floor. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is the fact that that China is basing their currency off gold now. They're now trading and basically being allowing their trading to be converted back into gold, whether it's through the cash, whether it's through the oil, whatever it's supposed to do. And it dropped a whopping 340 pips, which is a lot for that market, especially how active it is. And then on top of that, now I saw another article where they said Chinese state-owned banks now have started reportedly been buying U.S. dollars in forward on behalf of the central banks and immediately selling them on the spot market to support the domestic currency in China. They said the PBOC deputy governor and head of the foreign exchange regulator, Pan Gongxing, said China was confident it could keep the yuan basically stable at a reasonable level because the government central bank buys domestic currency when it wants to strengthen it by protecting the buying power of the domestic currency. The country protects its citizens from inflation risk. So what they're doing is now the feds are trying to short the metal market. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever that I can physically come up with on why silver and gold, and not even just a commodity market, just looking at it from an inflation standpoint and looking at it from a cost of expense standpoint. Energy's going up. Fuel's been going up. Milk's going up. Oil's going up. Every single thing around us is going up in price right now, except for three of the most common and respected metals known to man that have been used as currencies for thousands of years. Gold, silver, and platinum went through the floor last week and continue to go through the floor. At the same time, China basically started hemorrhaging cash because they're trading back and forth in gold. This was completely done from the globalists and the Rothschilds, in my opinion, to short the market so they could come in, not only go in and buy a lot of these metals, because here's the weird part that I saw about this, because I watched both sides. I watched the spot market and the, you know, the paper market, essentially is what it is, and I watch the real metals market. 90% of the metal suppliers that I look at online, their prices on silver eagles went up last week. Not down when the silver went down, went up all the way, some of them going to $21 and $22 an ounce per coin on some of the silver, even the green top 20-ounce tubes. They were going for $410 and $420 when silver dropped almost 80 cents an ounce. The only reason that's happening, guys, is because supply cannot keep up with demand. These guys do not have enough physical silver to sell it any cheaper, so they have to raise the price in order to basically maintain any type of decent supply in their reserves that they're carrying. This right here shows you that there's a huge disconnect between the actual physical market and the actual paper market. That's why I always tell people, this is my opinion, what I like to do as far as if you're going to buy silver or gold, have physical in it. If you're wanting to play around in other markets, that's your choice. Do whatever you want to do on there. I'm not giving you advice on that. But if you're going to buy this stuff, it's always best to have physical possession of it, because once this finally goes, once all this stuff starts to collapse in that market and people actually start to call in these physical metals, there's not going to be any to get. That's what a lot of people don't understand. The usage of silver has gone up over the last 5 years. We've actually gone into reserves globally to put silver in for production. Gold's hoarded all the time, and gold just seems to disappear. You know, it goes from one country to another country, then somebody doesn't have it here and somebody doesn't have it here. gold's an interesting compound, very interesting compound. We can get further into that in another show. So, but all this stuff, even platinum. Platinum's using catalytic converters. They're using all types of different household products, microwaves, refrigerators, all this stuff. Yet platinum's going down as well right now when there's a huge demand for it, when it comes to the electric vehicles, when it comes to the solar panels, when it comes to all the different electronic items that are being built and growing around the world, and platinum's going down right now. There's no logical explanation of that except they're intentionally shorting the market so they can try to drive China down further because they do not approve of them running a gold-based currency, Dad. And that's pretty much the only thing I can figure out right now.
Well, that's what we told everybody a month ago when gold started dropping. I said they're shorting the market to try to drive down the yuan. And that's exactly what happened. After massive intervention, China promises it won't weaponize the yuan to fight Trump. There you go, doing what they're supposed to do. As China's offshore yuan collapsed back above the 6.7 U.S. dollar after the biggest 14-day rout of the currency in history, the governor stepped in with comments and suspected actions that lifted the formerly bidless currency eight handles for its biggest gain since March. People's Bank of China said, "We will keep the yuan exchange rate basically stable at reasonable and balanced level, a repetition of standard language that helps stroke speculation that policymakers are prepared to take tougher actions to arrest the plunge in the currency." Now, the reason the currency is plunging is because they want to plunge the currency. This is exactly what's happening right now. They want everything to plunge. They're about ready. I'm telling you guys, they're about ready to pull the plug again on the stock market and everything else. This is what I'm telling you right now. In fact, right now, you got to ask yourself a question. In fact, Michael Schneider asked this in one of his articles today. He goes, why are investors pulling money out of global stock funds at the fastest pace since the last financial crisis? Because we haven't seen anything like this since the last financial crisis of 2008. Investors are taking money out of global stock funds at a pace that hasn't been done in over 10 years. Global stocks lost about $10 trillion in value during the first half of 2018 as investors pulled their profits and retreat back into cash and precious metals. An even worse performance during the second half of the year will certainly almost push the global financial system into panic mode. U.S. stocks have been relatively stable, and so most Americans are not too alarmed about what is happening just yet. But if you look back through history, emerging market chaos is often an early warning sign and signal that a major crisis is on the horizon, and that is precisely what is happening right now. Financial markets and emerging markets all over the planet are in the process of melting down, and the losses are becoming quite dramatic. Guys, you've got to look at the trends. You've got to see what's going on in these emerging markets. This is what happened in 2006, 2007, and 2008. Right now, the housing prices are, housing is sometimes in different areas that you're in still going up or it's going back down now. It's being very, very erratic. As the central bank continues to raise interest rates, which it has to do to try to stem inflation the way our current debt-based monetary system is enforced, it will continue to contract the available amount of credit out there because of people simply won't qualify for loans, or they won't be able to make the payments on the loans because the interest rates are too high. And then we'll go back to these variable rate mortgages again that we had on housing that'll start off low and then go to these ridiculously high numbers. I remember when I bought a house back in 1988, we were paying like 13%, and we thought we got a great deal, 13% interest. Wow, it's like a credit card, right? And that's because it was over 20% under Jimmy Carter. This is the mess that we get into when a central bank controls the currency and the currency supply in the United States. And the only way the M1 or the currency, the available currency is available is through borrowing it and never being able to print the interest debt on it, which means it's untenable. It can never be paid back. It doesn't make a difference. You give them all the money back, it doesn't make a difference. You still owe the interest. This is what we've gotten ourselves into. And the international IMF, the Monetary Fund, the Bank of International Settlements, the Federal Reserve Banks in Basel, Switzerland, they control all of these markets. They control the Chinese Federal Reserve Bank, the Russian Federal Reserve Bank. They're all part of the Rothschild banking cartel. So, guys, never forget that. And that what they do is they work them all against each other to try to control global growth. In addition to that, to maximize their profits and to put everybody as deeply into debt as they possibly can so they can rule the world through usury. This is why God said he's so against usury. That's why Jesus was so against usury. That's why the Old Testament talks about it so much, about usury. Guys, it's so important that we all understand. If we've got a car, okay, I got to do this today. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to talk to you guys for a second. We're going to have a fireside chat right now. This is important. Everybody listen to me. I don't normally talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this. If you go to a car lot and you have, let's say you have a 2012 Toyota Camry, and you go to the car lot, and the car lot says to you guys, hey, Toyota's, you go to Toyota dealership, it could be Honda, it could be anything, and they say, if we can get you into a brand new Toyota Camry, now remember, your Toyota Camry's paid for, or you have a payment left on it. Let's say the Toyota Camry is worth $10,000, you owe $15,000 or $16,000 on it. And so they come to you and they say, if we can get you into a new Toyota Camry with no money out of your pocket, with lower payments, and you'll drive a brand new car with lower payments, we want to do that for you. And you go, oh, wow, that's great. This is what people do all the time. They buy payments. And probably 80% of our listeners are listening right now. This is what you do. So I'm going to teach you something here right now. You can't do it that way, because what's going to happen is they're going to take a bank. They're going to look at your credit, and they're going to see the fact that you're $5,000 upside down. They're not going to pay that off on your car. They're going to fold that into the existing loan that you're buying on the new car, which means that now instead of buying a new car for $20,000 or $25,000, you're going to have $30,000 in it. And if they can get it done, they're going to put the gap insurance on it. They're going to put extended warranty on it. They're going to add like another $200,000 or $300,000 in additional fees, extended warranty on all of this stuff. And so now all of a sudden, you get a car that's $35,000, including all the other stuff you've added into it. Your other car, you only owe $10,000 on it. But because of all the stuff they do in extending the terms of the loan, where they're giving you the right credit, your payment comes back. It's the same as it was before. But instead of taking the payments for the next 3 years, you got payments for the next 8 years or 9 years. And this is what they do. And then after 4 or 5 years, you go back and they do it again. And eventually, you get to a point where you're so upside down in how much money you have in equity in the vehicle that they can't buy you out of it or trade you out of it anymore, and you're stuck with it. And now you've got a car that's worth $10,000, but your payments are $30,000 worth, and you've got 6 more years to pay it off. Never let them do that to you. Always ask them for the out-the-door price, not including a trade. That's what you got to do. That's how you have to start this. You never go in and say, I'm going to trade my car in. No, I just want an out-the-door price, no trade. So if you get a Honda, I've got a friend I just helped him buy a brand-new Honda Accord, brand-new body style, everything. No trade. $23,000 out the door. That's tax, tag, title, dealer fees, everything, because I know how to work the system over with the dealers that I know. I mean, that's very, very inexpensive. That's like $21,000 for a brand-new, or even less than that, about $20,500 for a brand-new Honda Accord. You think, well, could you do it that way? Yes, you should always do it that way. You never want to be in a position where you take the money owed from a prior car and roll it into the new car, because that means you're still making payments on the old car and you don't have it anymore. Now you got a new car, and eventually those payments are going to keep going up, going up, going up. It happened to my mother-in-law. She traded a really nice Honda Civic. I wasn't with her. She went to the dealership without me. She was mad at me at the time. I love her, but she was mad at me. And she went to the dealership and she traded for a Mitsubishi Eclipse, which has zero resale value. Traded her out of the Civic, which had equity in it, into the Mitsubishi Eclipse. The car broke down 5 times in 1 year, left her stranded, and she had to be towed in 5 times in 1 year. And when all of that happened, she ended up basically getting in a situation where she got deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Then she traded that car out because it was no longer reliable on a used car they traded her out of. Before it was over with, she was making $1,000 a month payment on a Ford Explorer that was used. That happened to my mother-in-law. That's what happens to so many people right now in this credit bubble that we have going on with the automobiles. Always make sure that you get a car, and you make sure the car, you know what the out-the-door price is. Don't ask them what you can buy the car for. Ask them what the out-the-door price is, and get 2 or 3 dealerships competing against the out-the-door price. Then you make sure that when you fill out the paperwork, that what the out-the-door price is the out-the-door price. And that's my little lesson for you today on buying cars. It's so important that you don't allow yourself to finance negative equity. They call that. So that means it's not negative equity. It's you owe extra money on the car that you're buying now because of the old car that couldn't get paid off. Don't do that. It's better to drive a car and get it paid off and keep that car and get rid of that car payment. What do you think, Austin?
No, that's great advice. The problem is a lot of people just don't talk about this kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of like this, you know, nobody wants to talk about car deals. It's funny because a lot of my friends always ask me about different vehicle deals I've done over the years, whether it be with off-road toys and stuff like that. See, I've always liked to have the idea of be able to buy something, use it for a couple years, cost little to no money, then be able to sell it, sometimes make money on it depending on how you bought it used. I like that idea of stuff. And the reason why is because it gives you the ability ability to have fun with certain toys and certain vehicles and not spend an enormous amount of money. But the key in doing that is making sure you're getting the good deal from the get-go, and you're making sure you're getting good, reliable brands that aren't going to be horrific as far as with resale and aren't going to be problematic as far as reliability and maintenance. Those are all huge factors you have to play into it when you're looking at buying something like that. And also the other thing is, too, anytime you're trying to buy a vehicle like this and you're trying to get a good deal on it, always make sure that your payments are pretty much going to be whatever they're going to be. If you're financing it, make sure the payments are going to be whatever is the lowest of the number that you're basically financing into your budget. What I mean by that is if you have, say, $250 to $500 budget for a car, don't go in and flex it out to $500, $600 a month for your payment, because all you end up doing is spending a significant amount more money than you want to, and if something happens with finances, if cash flow goes down, then you're not going to be able to afford a lot of the stuff. This is something that everybody has to work on as far as living within your means on what you can buy appropriately and having enough money to put down, getting the right deals, and also staying within a proper budget and not overexerting yourself, because that way if your payments are $250 a month, but you can still afford $500 or $600, well, every month, if you have the extra cash, you can throw that extra $300, $400, $500, $600 a month on the payment, and in a lot of cases, knock down the note from 5 or 6 years all the way down to 1, 2, 3 years if you have the ability to do so. And that's really the big key, is trying to get stuff paid off early, not just making minimum payments on stuff all the time, because that's an issue that a lot of people run into with vehicles, is they say, well, my payment's $250 a month, I pay $250 a month. No, you can't look at it like that. You always have to look, if you have extra cash, you throw more money into it to pay it down faster. I've had so many friends over the years, as Dad just said, they look at everything as payments. What can I afford for another payment that month? Well, I'm getting rid of this and that payment. My cell phone bill's going down more, so I can afford $450 a month payment instead of $300 a month. And I go, no, you can't look at it like that. You can't constantly say, how many payments can I have a month? I make $3,000 a month, so I can basically have up to $2,000 in payments a month and still have expenses as far as with food and cost and fuel and stuff like that. That's not a good way to live, because all you ever end up doing is living on payments and interest instead of having vehicles and other things paid for that you don't have to pay interest on. Remember, most car notes, even with a good note, you're still paying 2-3%. I mean, that's a very good rate. Some of them go much higher than that. You know, I've talked to people that good credit, and they pay 4-6% on a vehicle. And you know, you can think about that. You know, on a $20,000-$30,000 vehicle, that's just money you're handing to the bank every single month. That's why I'm not a big fan of interest. If it's low enough, now the best deals are when you can find them when they have specials on stuff, when they do like 0% interest for like 48 or 68 months or something like that. Those are really, really good promos if you can do something like that. But again, those are usually only on new cars. So then you have to factor in, what's the depreciation going to be after the first year or two? And is it going to be worth buying it new or buying one a year or two old and letting somebody else take the depreciation hit, Dad? So great. Yeah, a lot of great info you brought up today.
And one more thing I want to say. Let's say you put 10 or 15,000 miles on a car. Let's say your car gets 20 miles per gallon. Let's say you get tired of putting that much fuel into your car, so you want to get a car that gets 30 miles per gallon. You've got to figure out how much extra this is going to cost you to do that. If you got your car that's getting 20 miles per gallon and it's paid for, think through this for a second with me, and you can increase this. So if you're spending, let's say, $3,000 a year on fuel, and so you want to reduce that to $2,000 a year, so you're paying $2,000, so you're saving $1,000, but if you've got a $500 a month car payment now that you've got to pay for 8 years, that doesn't work. Think through that for a second. You're only going to save $1,000. You're putting $6,000 a year into a car payment. So you're going to spend a lot more money on that car than you would on the fuel savings. Very important to think like this. By the way, women ingesting probiotics can decrease their bone loss as they get older by half. This is a very, very good article. There are over 400 species of bacteria in your belly right now, and that can be the key to health or to disease. The genomes of bacteria and viruses of the human gut alone are thought to exceed 3.3 million genes. Among older women who received probiotics, bone loss was halved compared to women who received only a placebo. The research opens the door to a new way to prevent fractures among the elderly. Brittleness of the bones or osteoporosis is characterized by porous and weak bones, which can cause them to break even when subjected to low loads, such as falling from standing height. The proportion of the population with osteoporosis increases with age, and the majority of women over the years, age of 80, have that disease. Now, let me say something about this. I agree with this 100% as far as the probiotics, and they do a whole lot more than just promote healthy bones. The probiotics are actually interdimensionally connected into your brain, as everything in your body is. Everything in our body and the skin suit that we wear functions as a giant biocomputer that's all interconnected through scalar waves, electrical transmissions, and longitudinal waves. And this gut bacteria has to continually stay connected with the brain. In fact, a lot of people say that the gut interface with the brain is critical as much as the heart interface with the brain is critical. So, guys, we're a homogeneous unit that functions together to maintain health. That's what our bodies are. So magnesium is one of the most important minerals that women don't get. If you want, like, if you ever pick up ivory, it's super strong. It's not brittle. It's hard. I remember I looked at tusks when I was in Africa years ago, like 20 years ago, that had been on giant elephants, and these tusks were like concrete. I mean, they were unbelievably hard, but they were like a porcelain concrete, but they wouldn't crack or break if they fell, because these elephants use these things to fight, so they don't snap in half. Now, sometimes they'll get broken in half in a fight or whatever, and the poachers take them a lot of times. But the reality is this. If you want your bones to be like that ivory, super strong, it's the magnesium with the calcium. It's that important. In fact, I think you need like 2 to 3 times as much magnesium as you need calcium, because magnesium is used by the body like gasoline is used in your car. It's burned and used. And you can't get too much magnesium because the kidneys will excrete it. It won't matter. You can't get too much. Calcium, on the other hand, you can get too much calcium, and too much calcium will cause hardening of the arteries. It can cause all kinds of problems with bone spurs if you don't have sufficient quantities of magnesium. So it's very, very important to realize that calcium by itself, I don't like the supplements unless you're a woman and you're subject to osteoporosis. We have the best calcium on the markets in the world. But I don't suggest that men ever take calcium supplements. And people say, well, Ted, that cuts into your own product sales. Yeah, it does. How about that? I don't care. I'm not going to tell you guys to do something that I won't do. I won't take calcium supplements as a male. Now, women who are high-risk osteoporosis, they're tall, they're thin, they got thin bones, or they've had osteoporosis problems before, you need to probably take a good calcium supplement like we have and take that extra magnesium to strengthen those bones again. And, according to this article, and I believe this, increase the probiotic function. We have the 350 billion probiotics now. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's in a stick pack. And what I do every morning when I make my protein shake, I cut the end of the stick off and I dump one in my shake. Say, well, that's too much. How much is too much? How many probiotics do you need? If you've ever been on antibiotics, you've got to be on probiotics, because the antibiotics wipe out the gut flora almost immediately. And that's one of the other reasons I believe that maybe these women are having so many problems with their bones not being as strong as they are, if probiotics are directly linked to it, because so many women are plagued because of their high sugar diets with constant yeast infections. And because of that, they're constantly going out and they're taking their antifungal medications. And they're wiping out the entire gut flora population like on a regular basis every month. That could also increase the risks of osteoporosis. So guys, think through this with me. I use six tiny little scoops. It's not even a teaspoon. 6 tiny little scoops of the magnesium brain food every morning in my protein shake. I also take three scoops in the morning. I take 6 scoops total. I take 3 scoops in the morning, and I take 3 scoops at night, an hour before I go to bed, with my melatonin. And you sleep through the night like a baby, because the magnesium relaxes the muscles and makes you sleep, so you don't have leg cramps in the night. And plus, it just helps to just knock you out with the melatonin. I'm 62 years old, sleep through the night like a baby. I take my prostate support. I don't have to get up and urinate. I mean, it's just absolutely wonderful being at this age and being this healthy, knowing what I know, and being able to pass this information on to you guys. Because, guys, a lot of the stuff that we've learned, it's because we've been in the business for almost 40 years. And a lot of this stuff I had to learn the hard way, because I started having issues. Like I told you guys with the eczema and the seborrhea and all that kind of stuff. I told you how to get rid of that a few months back, because it's super easy to do that, but you got to know the right supplements to use. And so I'll get off that right now. I'm getting redundant. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story?
Well, yeah, one thing I wanted to add on that, you know, the probiotic 350 billion we have, it is pretty much by far the strongest probiotic in the world. When we manufacture it, it comes out at 650 billion CFUs at time of packaging. And the only reason why we can't say that is because as of time, the longer it sits there, it starts to break down. And so we can guarantee after 2 years that it still will maintain the integrity of 350 billion colony-forming units, which is what CFU stands for. at the end of its expiration cycle, and it's still that strong, and it's still the strongest probiotic in the world. The current batch we have right now was manufactured at the end of February 2018, so it's a very, very, very fresh batch. Now, that's a very expensive, very strong probiotic formula. So I have a lot of people sometimes say, you know, that's kind of out of my budget. Are there other options? Yes. We also have the probiotic 100 billion, which is basically 100 billion CFUs per capsule, which is an incredibly good formula. That one's like $59 per box. And then if you're trying to stay more on a budget, but you still want a very effective one as well, this one's still good. It's just not as strong as the other ones. We have the probiotic standard DF, which is about $36-$37 a box, and it's still 30 billion CFU per capsule. So the formulas we have, the reason why we have them at that level is because they're so effective still, yet we have them in different price ranges. They're really, when you look at the ingredients, except for the 350 billion, which literally has like every single type of strain known to man on it, most of these are still incredibly effective and very good, and they're just in lower CFU units. So they're really good as far as even with bowel regularity, with digestion, especially with lactose digestion. It helps out with the immune system, helps out with the gut-brain connection. It helps out with overall healthy intestinal wall health. And that's the thing, as Dad was just saying, if you've ever been on antibiotics, which pretty much anybody I know has been on antibiotics before. Let's just be real. Anybody's gotten a sinus infection, you've gotten sick, or you've gotten something at some point in time, you've been on antibiotics. The problem is, once you go on antibiotics one time, it's very difficult to naturally get your gut microbe and your natural probiotics in your system back up to where they need to be, because most people don't eat enough fermented foods anymore. They say, you know, things like kefir or yogurt, those have natural probiotics. And they do. If you're getting true organic kefir, organic yogurt, and you're eating that, that can help out a lot too. But some people don't like to eat dairy all the time, especially if you eat very lean like I do, where you're eating primarily a lot of healthy fats like olive oil and coconut oil, with lots of like grilled chicken, salmon, you know, different types of vegetables. I don't eat a lot of dairy products. I don't eat a lot of fermented foods except for sauerkraut. So I like to supplement a large amount of the additional probiotics that we sell, so I don't have to eat those foods, even though they're very healthy for you. And if you eat them, that's great. But everybody has their own protocol and their own desire and their own goals of what they're trying to do. So the best thing to do is to adapt of what you're trying to do and work with it with your diet and lifestyle. And that's why we have so many different options for probiotics and so many different options for other products we have here on the market as well. Another two, and that somebody brought up to me the other day, was I get this question all the time again about the red wine studies that they did in Italy, basically showing that people that drink wine basically have lower heart disease incidences. And in some cases, that is true. The issue that they don't want to discuss are the other issues as far as alcoholism, cirrhosis of the liver, pancreas issues because of the alcohol. And the product that we generated years ago that's incredibly effective is our resveratrol quercetin formula, which is essentially derived from organic grapes. And the antioxidant effects from this formula is so strong that it's literally like drinking a couple bottles of wine just when you take a couple capsules, except you're not getting any of the ill effects of the alcohol, including the liver toxicity, including the headache, including all the other aspects of it. Many of the health benefits of this are because of a lot of the nutrients that is contained in grapes and the resveratrol and quercetin that is so strong. Several studies have shown that resveratrol actually helps process off the negative effects to the heart, including the proliferation in cells and arteries and veins. So it actually prevents the plaquing in the arteries. So the resveratrol is really beneficial for circulatory health. The antioxidant properties are incredibly beneficial to the cells and organs throughout the entire body. Also, too, there's numerous studies that have shown resveratrol and quercetin have anti-aging components. There was even a study done by Harvard Medical School, if I'm not mistaken, and they showed that resveratrol and quercetin can actually also help you eat less food, and it also activates enzymes that slow aging, thus increasing DNA stability and extending lifespan. That's what they found at Harvard, and it can also help you control your appetite better, on top of the fact that it has great anti-inflammatory properties. It can also help out with healthy blood pressure, and it also is very good for eye health as well. So when people ask me about that, I say, listen, you know, I'm not going to recommend you go drink a bunch of wine with alcohol in it every night. There's too many ill effects effects that are going to come out from that. Rather, take something with resveratrol and quercetin like we have at a very high dose. You're going to get 1,000 times more positive effects from that formula as what you're looking to get without the ill effects. So that's one of the reasons why we have that. And so I wanted to answer that again, because a lot of people bring up that study because of how popular it became. And what a lot of people did, and the problem what it did was it made people basically just go out and give them excuse to go drink on a regular basis. Oh, well, it's okay. Wine's good for me, so I'll just drink a bottle of wine a night. No. That's really not the best thing to say. And they even said, if I'm not mistaken, in that article, it said if you are not drinking alcohol and you basically predispose to alcoholism, you really don't need to take this up for the health benefits. There's other options to it, and that's why we came out with the resveratrol quercetin formula, Dad, which has been so popular over the years, as you know.
Well, what's interesting about this is, I'm just going to reiterate this, alcohol increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. And drinking alcohol is not going to make you healthy. I don't care what they say. It's a lie.
No.
Because just 1 ounce of alcohol a day decreases the ability of the body to produce an enzyme called lipase, which burns fat instead of stores fat. That's why you always see these people who drink a lot. They start getting pudgy around the face, pudgy around the gut, pudgy around the jowls. Pretty soon they're fat. And you see it. Very rarely, unless somebody's a hardcore alcoholic and they just drink a lot of alcohol because of what it does to other functions in the body, sometimes the alcoholics are very thin. But as far as the people that who just drink on a regular, occasional basis, having 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 beers every night, almost every single case, they're going to become extremely fat. And the other problem, again, I know this, my brother's an alcoholic and he's extremely skinny because he drinks 2 cases of beer a day. And so he gets his calories from his beer. Very, very unhealthy diet. All his teeth have fallen out because it massively increases calcium precipitation. He looks awful. He's 14 years older than me. He literally looks 40 years older than me. And, I tried my best to talk to him. He doesn't want to listen to me because he's an alcoholic. And if you've ever tried to talk to an alcoholic, you realize very quickly, unless they're on Anabuse or something that prevents them from drinking, or unless they've gone to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've learned through God pretty much, is that which is the only way you're going to do it. The power of the Holy Spirit comes into you and allows you to stay away from it and avoid it. You're going to find that it's very difficult to communicate with them because they're so addicted. Their addiction talks through them because everything's manipulation in order to try to get more alcohol. So I'm not going to promote alcohol drinking at all. Now, I'm going to say that. I said all that to say this. If you have an occasional glass of beer, if you have an occasional glass of wine, it is absolutely no big deal. The Bible doesn't forbid drinking. It forbids drunkenness. And so if you occasionally do that, I could care less. Like every time I go to Germany, my relatives ask me out. They always ask me if I want a beer. They're all drinking beer. I'm sure I have one beer. And it'll sit there. I'll look at the beer and I'm like, gosh, I can't believe I'm drinking this. I don't even like the way this one tastes. But I'll have it with them. Why? Because I'm being social with them. But I never drive. If that happens, I always say, guys, if I go with you to drink a beer, and now we're not going to a bar, we're going to a restaurant. I said, I'm riding with you guys. I'm not driving, ever drinking. And they understand that. They respect that. Or you can take Uber, or you can get a taxi driver, whatever.
Yeah.
But don't get drunk. Don't do that. But if you want to have an occasional glass of beer, occasional glass of wine, I'm talking once or twice or three times a year. And I don't even do it that much. I may do it, every 2 or 3 years. But I'm not going to paint some halo over my head and say I'd never do this, because every once in a while I do. My luck, I'd be in a doggone German restaurant with one of my relatives, and you guys walk in and see me drinking a beer, and you go berserk on me. I'm not doing that. So I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, if you drink a beer, it's okay. Now, what I don't do is I don't eat pork intentionally. I don't eat shellfish intentionally. I don't eat trans fats, hydrogenated oils, intentionally. And I never eat or drink aspartame diet sodas intentionally, or Splenda intentionally, or soy products, or canola oil. This list goes pretty far. But I don't do any of that stuff. When I listen on the label, I simply won't do it. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. Interesting show today. I do have a Honda dealership, and I'm not promoting Honda because whatever. I just have a dealership. So if you ever, guys, ever want to get a price for a Honda and you want to call us up or whatever, I'll be more than happy, if you're a customer, and help you with that, because I don't mind helping my friends. You guys are family. I love you guys. I appreciate you. So thank you so much for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your everything, your water distillers and all that. And thank you for your prayers. I had the distinct privilege again this morning of praying for you guys. It's such a pleasure to do that every day. And you guys are awesome. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for being part of the family. I really love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, we do appreciate all the support you continue to give us, and thank you for all the emails and the positive emails we've got on the contact form every single week, every single weekend. So it really does make it better when we get a lot of positive feedback and different feedback on supplements. I've had a lot of customers, you know, email me up and just say, hey, I'm taking this product, I'm getting good results. Hey, I'm taking this product, I'm getting this, or what else can I take with that? We love getting stuff like that, and that's what we're here for. And if you don't want to send an email, you can always call us at 1-800-726-1834. We're always here to help you guys out the best we physically can. And, of course, if you guys need anything as far as supplement-wise, you can also check it out on the website at Health Masters. The CLA Fat Burner is on sale right now for over 10% off. It will be basically on sale till tonight. Whatever the new product of the week is will be winning, and that will basically go in. And so we got that going on right now. And be sure to check out the Alpha Male Stack, the Maximum Energy Kit as well on sale, and also the Vive 5-Pack Kit on the front page of the website. That's on sale for over 15% off, going on sale right now. So we just like helping you guys, and we really appreciate the support. Like Dad says, whenever anybody, you know, even just buying a bottle of multiple through us makes a huge deal. It really helps us. It goes a long way in helping to support the show, because this show isn't free. You know, everything we do, I mean, everything costs money. That's one aspect of what these socialist kids don't understand. And but that's what we're here to do, though, is help you guys out the best we possibly can. As I said on the show last week, though, thank you so much for not emailing us and asking us to call other people up and give them advice or give out third and fourth party advice. It's just not conducive, and we don't have the time. If somebody wants to talk to us and wants help, more than happy to help them out. Tell them to give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to talk to them and see what we can do to work something out with them. That's what we're here for. But as far as making outbound phone calls to people that aren't customers because, you know, your dentist's wife has something going on, or your brother's cousin's uncle has something going on, that's not something we're going to do. Have them give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to talk to them and help them out the best we physically can. So we appreciate everything from you guys. Thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe July 4th tomorrow. I think we'll still be doing a show. But be safe tonight and everything else that's going on. And have a blessed, safe night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.